Good morning, everybody in London, Johannesburg, Sydney, Dublin. I don't know how many other places we have that are coming on. Now in South Africa, we have Summit TV. So everyone watching on Summit, welcome to Investec's annual results presentation. Andy, I hope Simon Draft is there to see that I'm not looking too haggard. If I am, I'll try and sharpen up. I think... Can you buy, are we all linked up? Because in November we had a bit of admin here. Maybe I came to Africa, okay? So if we look at, we started a bit late, I apologize, because we're doing a bit of a building reworks in South Africa, so it's a battle to get into the parking. In South Africa, everyone goes to wherever they go to by car. If we look at the overall results, I think we believe that this is a very good operational performance. I think it demonstrates the diversity of our income streams. I think we do have a culture of strong risk management, and we've had strong risk management in place right throughout this period. And we do have a very hands-on culture. We did meet four of our five financial objectives. We have a balanced portfolio of businesses showing the resilience of our organization, and it has been a very tough trading environment, and there's no doubt about it that the trading environment has impacted financial markets quite significantly. Certainly it started around about August and it's continued right to this very day. So we do recognize that we have come through a very, very tough period. I think equity markets have been exceptionally volatile. I mean, just you can see that you've had a strong slide in the FTSE, a slide in the Aussie index, and a very volatile index in South Africa, which is a little bit masked by the strength of commodities. On the debt side, we've had a financial tsunami, and this is a graph showing you what's happened to certain classes of AAA paper, and AAA is supposed to be things that can't get into trouble, but they don't, maybe not all of them default, but they do have significant markdowns. And I think that's really what's affected the global financial world quite substantially. I think, notwithstanding the fact that in the UK you've had base rate cuts, you still had LIBOR at the end of March was higher than it was at the end of March last year. But we've had strong rise in interest rates in South Africa and strong rise in interest rates in Australia. We've also had to deal with a weak rand. It's depreciated 7% on average against sterling. Sterling is, on the other hand, weakened significantly against the euro and a basket of currencies. And the Aussie dollar has been particularly strong against sterling. So, overall, the currencies have been on the weaker side. I think we mustn't forget the nature of Investec and the breadth and diversity of our revenue streams. And if you look at this is over the last 8 years, the mix of our revenue, and the fact that we do have a significant amount of recurring revenue in our organization. I think that is often forgotten about our organization. If we look at the results, and you would have all had the ability to see the results because they were put on the wires at 7 o'clock this morning. Our operating profit before tax was up 15%. Our attributable earnings was up 14.6%. And our adjusted earnings per share was up 6.8% because of the increase in number of shares in issue. Our dividend is up 8.7% in sterling. I don't know what the rand number is, but I think it's up quite a bit more than 8.7%. And our customer deposits are up 14%. Our core loans and advances up 27%, so strong growth in loans and advances. And I think that's something that the world has seen, is that a lot of assets have stayed on banks' balance sheets, and hence you have had a strong pickup in that particular line item on the balance sheet. And then our third-party assets under management have been affected by weaker market conditions and the depreciation. Rand in rand they're up, in sterling they're down marginally, down by 3.4%. About 4 years ago, I think in 2004, for the year ended 2005, we set a whole host of financial targets. The first one was UK retail price index plus 10. In this environment, that would have meant we'd have to go about 14% in sterling, because retail price index for the period we traded in under was about 4%. We did miss this target, which we told you that we would miss in January already, and our growth was 6.8%. However, you've got to put that into context. In the last 10 years, we've grown by 12.4% compound growth rate. And in the last 4 years since we set the target, we've grown by 28.6%. So this is not a target that you will achieve every year, and it is a target that one intends to achieve through the cycle, and we're comfortably ahead of the game if you look at it from when we set the target and on the game if you take us back the last 10 years. I think ROE, well above our target at 23.6%. We've met this target for the past 4 years. And there was a time when we obviously, if you go back in history, we failed to meet the target. But certainly we've got our business to a level where we are meeting the ROE target, and hopefully we'll be able to sustain our meeting that target no matter what the cycle is. I think our cost-to-income ratio has also improved quite significantly as we built the scale of our organisation. And if you go back probably 7-8 years, our cost-to-income ratio was in the high 60s, and now it's 56.1%. And that does give us a lot of cover. So notwithstanding the fact that we have been in tough market conditions, we have seen an improvement in this cost-to-income ratio, mainly because of increased leverage on the balance sheet. Our operating income was up 26% to just under £1.5 billion, and our costs were up 20%, 19.9% to £831 million. And if you look at our cost income ratio from within geography, all our geographies met their target cost income ratios. UK and Europe 64.8%, and that's in very tough trading conditions for those businesses. South Africa at 47%, that's below the 50% target that we strive to achieve, and Australia at about 59%, which is also within its target range. Our capital adequacy, we have successfully implemented Basel II. I point out we implemented on the standardized basis, not the advanced basis. Therefore, our capital that we have to hold would be higher than banks who are on an advanced basis. We did adjust our targets to 12 to 15 to recognize the fact that Basel II brings in a whole lot of capital for risks that were not previously quantified or regarded as requiring capital under Basel I, mainly operational risk. And we've comfortably met those targets. We're above all of the bottom end of our ranges. Our Tier 1 ratios right throughout our group is above 9, which is our target ratio. And the key ratios I would look at here is the Investec Limited 13.9 and Investec PLC 15.3. And so we are reasonably comfortable on the capital front that we have enough capital for growth and enough capital to sustain ourselves. If I move now on to our divisional performance, I think I'm not going to talk too much on this slide, but we did. Private bank did generate, our private client activity generated about 39% of our operating profit. Capital markets 23%, notwithstanding some of the large impairments that had to be made in our principal finance book. Investment bank 15.5%, probably bottom end of the range in there in our cycle for that business. Asset management 15.4%, and our property activities really had a very strong year at 7%. They're normally around 3-4%. If we move on to some of the specific divisions, I will deal with two of them, and the senior management, the operating heads of the other divisions will deal with each of their own areas. I think the private client portfolio management soft broking business, this is two businesses. One is our stake in Rensburg Shepherd. We can't talk about Rensburg Shepherd results. They will announce them in June. All we can do is have an estimate of their operating profit, and that is an after-tax number. And then the profits of the South African private client business, which did have a very strong year, boosted by higher average asset levels and increased volumes. They've launched a whole lot of new products which have been taken up by their clients, and there has been a significant amount of asset swap activity in South Africa where people have been worried about the rand and therefore swapped into other forms of instruments that are non-rand denominated. So overall, for the combined business, operating profit was up 23.8% in sterling. Funds under management were up 4.8% in sterling, and South African funds under management up 6.8%. The cost-to-income ratio of the South African business was 59%, and the ROE of the South African business was 45%. So overall, a very strong performance. You've seen a strong trend of increasing profitability of this business, and I think that if we look at the outlook, I guess we're in a much more challenging environment. Certainly the last quarter has been a challenging environment as equity markets really started feeling a credit pinch, and but the business is a resilient business, and it does have a diverse business mix, and it does have a strong level of annuity income when it opens its doors from its discretionary funds under management. So overall, we're quite comfortable that this business, as well as Rentham & Shepherd, are in good shape and well structured, and you know, very nicely profitable. So I'm now going to ask Steve Halbon to talk about the private bank, and I'll see you in a few minutes, probably 20, depending on how long they all talk. Thank you.
Good morning. This time last year, the private bank reported an operating profit of £154.4 million. This was 52% up on the prior year and took our three-year compound growth rate to in excess of 50%. Following on from that period of excessive growth, we spoke then of consolidating our earnings at or around that level. With this in mind then, we are pleased to report that the private bank's operating profit is up 8% to £166.4 million for 2008. What makes these results particularly encouraging, though, is one, they were achieved against the backdrop of tightening conditions. Two, our key indicator of growth in income from operations is up 22% to £418 million. And three, these numbers are after an increase in the impairment charge from £7 million to £33 million. We also experienced good balance sheet growth. Loans and advances up 30%. Our funds under management have increased by 45%, and private client deposits are up 19%. A few general comments that should be noted about this year's performance are: we have experienced solid performances in South Africa, the UK, and Australia, with growth in operating income being in double-digit territory in all geographies. Two-thirds of our operating profit was generated in the United Kingdom and Australia. Net interest income represents 65% of our total operating income. This provides a very strong underpinning to our earnings. The increase in impairments is clearly indicative of a weakening credit cycle. The charge, though, is 0.37% of the closing book. And lastly, through a diversified set of specializations, we have reduced our historic reliance on property-related income from 55% in the prior year to 48% of total operating income. Moving to our areas of specialization then, I will now try and attempt to give you a little bit more color as to where and how we have generated our income. In order of contribution then, firstly, operating income from structured property finance has slowed its momentum with an increase of 6% year on year. As indicated, this represents 48% of total operating income. Property activities in South Africa have been supported by favorable conditions, but more recently have been affected by a tightening market. The UK, European, and Australian markets have suffered more directly as a result of the dislocation flowing from the subprime and subsequent credit crisis. The current year earnings, however, are characterized by a good spread of profit shares and a substantial increase in loans and advances. Given current market conditions, however, it would be reasonable to expect activity levels in property finance to be dampened and impairments to be impacted as we move into 2009. Having said this, the South African business is supported by healthy pipelines. In the UK European markets, some interesting possibilities should arise, and these will be sourced by our active clients. We have supported client-led cross-border transactions into selected parts of Europe and the Middle East. This, together with our regional expansion in the United Kingdom and Australia, will provide some hedge as we grow our market share in a tougher environment. Moving to our general banking activities, these account for 22% of the total operating income, and they have performed well with a 36% increase year on year. This is supported by good growth in residential mortgages, foreign exchange, deposit taking, and transactional banking facilities. Let me stress that this specialization is important to us. It is client acquisitive, brand building, and provides us with a very stable earnings stream. Healthy pipelines support all areas of activity in this discipline. Our growth and acquisition finance business grew its operating income by 66% for the year. This specialization accounts for 16% of our total operating income. Our activities are event-driven, targeted management buy-ins and buyouts in the owner-managed space. In South Africa, we were again particularly active in the black economic empowerment arena, and in the UK and Australian markets, credit conditions have reduced the level of competition, and this has had a favourable impact on pricing. Current year earnings were impacted by two meaningful exits in the UK and Australia. During the past year, our profile and business pipelines have been enhanced in all geographies, and the number of new transactions were concluded. The Private Wealth Management Division contributed 6% to our total operating income. This performed strongly with a 38% growth year on year. Now, an opportunity exists in this space, with the dominance of some of the incumbent brands currently being questioned. We intend to bolster the level of our investment in this activity. Our offering is differentiated through the quality of our advisory service and through the specialized delivery of opportunities to our active and wealthy clients. This business is now winning significant mandates and has a good pipeline going into 2009. Lastly, 6% of our operating income was produced by our trust and fiduciary business. This was a year of consolidation. Operating income was up 7% with stable performances from our Swiss and Channel Island-based businesses. The focus was on quality client service and enhanced risk management. The Trust Group is an integral part of the private bank and plays a meaningful role in supporting our deposit raising and wealth management activities. In closing then, over the last 5 years, the private bank has compounded its earnings by 43% from 28 to £166 billion. We have entered a period of tougher market conditions. Countering this, however, the private bank today is benefiting from its growth strategies and diversification initiatives introduced in prior years. The business benefits today from an enhanced client base, a stronger talent pool, and a fast-developing brand. The focus of the business in these times is to remain nimble and agile, capturing opportunities as they arise. We have momentum going into 2009, and we would look to consolidate our earnings at or around this level. Finally, we will continue to extract capacity from our existing specializations, we will contain our costs, and we will push hard, but very cleverly, to grow our market shares. Thank you. I will now hand over to Dave van der Walt, head of our capital markets business. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. Capital markets has had as a core objective to develop a sustainable scale business with diversified revenue streams for the past number of years. The recent market events have put this to the test, and we are pleased to say that earnings have only been impacted modestly and are down from £117.3 million to £115.8 million, a decrease of 1.3%. This result is achieved after writing down US subprime and related assets of £49 million, which reflects a strong underlying business performance. Core loans and advances have grown by 22.6% over the year to £3.8 million, and the losses and write-offs from the US subprime businesses have been offset by very strong performances in our structured and asset finance businesses, our commodities and resource finance businesses, our interest rate, FX and equity derivatives businesses, and our equity finance business in Ireland. We remain committed through the cycle to our four core focus areas, being specialized lending, structured derivatives, principal finance, and specialist funds, and we'll continue to provide value-added services to our clients. Looking at the performance over the past year, the Australian and U.K. businesses have been at the eye of the storm. The South African business has been relatively unaffected, with a modest tightening and a general increase in credit margins. The positioning of our Australian business has meant that we have felt little direct impact, with the brunt of the impact being felt in our U.K. business. The acquisition of Kensington has obviously been a major strategic initiative during the year, and while the timing was unfortunate, we are now pleased to say that the business is fully integrated and we can look forward to focusing now on revenue-generating opportunities. Outside of the securitization businesses, the market conditions have generally been favorable. Our treasury trading and derivative businesses have benefited from increased volatility in markets, and this has caused a large pickup in customer hedging transactions. The specialized lending businesses have benefited from wider margins and a more conservative approach to gearing. The market has moved away from pure pricing to specialist delivery and advisory services, and this favours our business model. In Australia, we launched our first specialist aircraft fund, and we're looking to build on this success. Looking forward, we continue to remain a focused specialist business, targeting markets where we can be distinctive and competitive. In South Africa, we are well positioned. Credit spreads have widened, and the long talks about infrastructural spend is starting to take place, which provides positive opportunity for corporate South Africa. In addition, the increased volatility favours our trading businesses. In the UK, we are not out of the woods yet in terms of the credit crunch, although there is a sense that market conditions are improving. The dislocated credit markets present opportunity, and we believe that we can take advantage of this. Outside of the securitization businesses, the rest of the businesses are performing well. The performance of the UK market business will depend on when markets open fully, and in addition to this, the performance on house prices, which relates to the Kensington business. In Australia, we have consolidated our position, and growth will depend on a normalisation market and our ability to increase our product capability and depth in that market. Overall, while we believe that these conditions present downward risks to our business, we are well positioned to weather the storm. Thank you very much. I'll be handing over to Andy Lee in South Africa.
Thanks, Dave, and good morning, everybody. I'll be covering the investment banking business together with Brad, and I'd just like to start off by putting the performance of the investment banking business in context. Operating profit is down 15% to £77.3 million, reflecting mixed performance across the geographies. The contribution to earnings between agency and advisory business and the principal investments business is similar to that of the previous year. However, we generated a higher level of core sustainable earnings from our balanced portfolio, which is integral to the strategy that we previously communicated with you. In achieving these results, we must look at them against the backdrop of a number of strategic initiatives that we've put in place over the last couple of years. We've improved the quality of our people, clients, and investment portfolios, developed the franchise again across the core three geographies and key international markets, and leveraged our core competence of committing capital to select opportunities. In reviewing the numbers, it's important to recognize the respective positioning and performance of the diversified portfolio of investment banking businesses across the geographies. I'll be covering the South African and Australian businesses, and Brad will be covering the integrated securities business and the UK business. Investment banking in South Africa posted good results, up 7% to £64.8 million, which reflected an increase of 12% in rands, supported by a stable deal pipeline and increase in the value of the underlying investments. If we turn to the specific areas, corporate finance delivered a lower performance than the prior year, given equity market volatility and fewer large transactions. However, I'm pleased to say that we did maintain our market positioning, being ranked number one in the Dealmakers survey for transaction volume in both M&A and sponsored activity, and raised 67% of the capital raised on the JSE during 2007. We achieved good new client gains, which should offer a better spread of income going forward. If we turn to principal investments, our strategy of quality versus quantity has continued to deliver results. Profit increased in South Africa by 17% in rands over the previous year, with strong performance from the quality underlying investment portfolios. We continued to invest to make new investments and build value in our portfolios and our underlying portfolios independently of realization and stock market conditions. If I turn to Australia, investment banking earned £4.9 million, a decrease of 7% over last year's performance. However, with growing brand awareness and the deepening of our platform during the year, we increased our presence in Melbourne and Brisbane. This should provide a solid base of growth opportunities in the future. At this stage, I'd like to hand over to Brad.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Firstly, I'd like to address our integrated securities business. In South Africa, where the operating results increased by just over 10%, the primary growth drivers for the business there were our prime broking operations and our international distribution platform. Our securities operation in South Africa is now robust. The business has enjoyed a number of years of very solid investment, and that investment continues. The challenges for South Africa include deepening the diversification of the revenue streams and an ongoing drive to increase distribution of South African products to international investors. In the UK, our market share progress within chosen sectors has been positive year on year across all sectors. As in South Africa, we have continued to make, and we will continue to make, targeted investments in quality stocks. Whilst the latter half of the year under review certainly saw quite a sustained pressure on volumes and on pricing, our business experienced net commission growth, solid traction in our hedge fund distribution capacity, and the emergence of an ability to distribute UK products to international investors through our US platform. Our trading and our market-making desks deliver disciplined results, even in the face of unprecedented market volatility, volatility of the kind that candidly none of us have seen. The challenge for the UK securities business is to maintain discipline around costs and capital while maintaining our positive market share momentum. Capturing opportunities across South Africa, the UK, and the US distribution platform remains a priority for our business. The opportunities include deepening our trading platform and increasing our product range, including growing our market share in dual listed and facilitating new products such as ADRs and contracts for difference for international clients. The year for our UK corporate advisory business was characterized by good levels of M&A activity, whilst difficult market conditions resulted in fewer IPOs and significantly less fundraising than the prior year. During the period under review, we raised, in fact, some 50% in the volume of funds that we raised for clients over the prior year. Now, we continue to build the size and quality of our client base, the momentum that started some 3 years ago, building significantly. As we review our pipelines, they are in fact relatively strong across all sectors just now, as is the case for the month of April, the first month of our new financial year. We raised slightly more funds for clients than we raised in the entire 12 months for the whole of last financial year. Now clearly, I would urge analysts not to linearly extrapolate that number across the year under the year that we're currently in, but it does speak to some momentum in the business. Last year, we pointed out to all of you that our Group Managing Director, Bernard Kanter, and our Finance Director, Glenn Berger, remind us volubly and continuously that markets come and markets go. No truer than for the year we have come out of, and for the year that we find ourselves in just now. Certainly, the outlook must be tempered by the current equity markets, which are challenging to say the least. In our direct investments business during the period under review, we reviewed several transactions, but we invested modestly. Whilst we planned for several exits over the course of the year, the equity markets were not such that they allowed for those exits, and as a result, we saw a significant decline in the results for our private equity business in Hong Kong and the UK. Andy and I have touched on the themes that have driven our business. But the predominant themes are stable and dedicated teams, and those are the predominant aspects that will drive our business going forward. Increased size and quality of our client base, increased market penetration, and our brand moving ahead significantly in the markets in which we do business. As to outlook, our focus continues to be on diversifying our earnings streams through our balanced portfolio of businesses across our three geographies and with the US as a distribution network for us. We now have a core level of sustainable earnings which allows us to perform across varying cycles. Our performance, however, will clearly be dependent on market conditions and our ability to compete in highly volatile environments. I hand over to Hendrik du Toit to address the asset management business.
Ladies and gentlemen, while sitting here, one thing struck me, and that is that you're probably experiencing something quite unique in the financial services world. You're talking to a stable management team, same people who presented last year, presenting. We still have Bernard warning us, reminding us of bear markets, and Glenn keeping us honest. And that to me is a great source of strength. And if I look at the divisional level, again, the same story. I'm privileged to work with a top management team, on average 10 years experience within our business, many more years experience in the industry. And the one strong point I'd like to make is that this is a people's business. And if you can keep your people in place in tough times, you can exploit opportunities and grow off the back of those opportunities. So as far as last year is concerned, I think the past 12 months have been challenging, but good. We, at the asset management division, we've successfully widened our global sales reach on the back of growing confidence in the quality of our product range, which effectively is the same story that we've been telling you the last 3 years. And we're pleased to report earnings growth of 13%. I think it's 12.8 or something up there. Rounded up, taking our earnings to 76.8%. Assets under management, in neutral currency up, in sterling terms slightly down, but that's part of the vagaries of the market. Operating revenues grew by 16%. The 32% revenue growth in the UK and international business was particularly encouraging and largely driven by net inflows of over £1.2 billion. In Southern Africa, the increase in funds under management in Rand supported 11% revenue growth in local currency and 4% in sterling. But this year, and as ever, cost control remains a priority. And you would see that our costs have grown fairly fast, 17.8%. That is predicated on the basis that we are building a distribution network around the world to leverage our very high-quality product range. And we thought it was the right time to invest while many other people might be cutting back and creating the space for us. And we hope that this will bear fruit in years to come. The longer-term investment performance of all our products remain very, very strong. And in fact, it is a platform to operate from. However, we're in very, very volatile markets at the moment, and short-term results could impact near-term sales prospects. Who knows? Who knows where the market is going to be in 6 months' time? Who knows what's going to be the next issue? We are in that air pocket, and we haven't exited from that. Once we exit, I'm sure the market will announce it with a massive re-rating of financial services stocks. It's important to note that we have one particular award we'd like to share with you, and we've won many awards over the last year. But for the 8th year running, Morningstar has named us as the best large mutual fund group in South Africa measured over 5 years. And that is just something, if you look at what you on average provided an investor in that market, it is something we're very, very proud of. And I think it will stand us in good stead in years to come. And interestingly, since inception, our institutional bank, 86% of our institutional products have beaten their benchmarks. And that is what we continue to produce and continue to sell to clients. In South Africa, our business achieved record results, £51.9 million profit, but we had a tough time in the institutional business. We lost 14 billion pounds in terms of outflows in the 14 billion rands in the institutional business, and that has to turn around. So if you want to focus on somewhere where we have to do better in the coming year, SA institutional, and I'm telling you we will do better. I'm not allowed to say it, but we're going to try our damnedest to do better. Our UK international business had a good year. It has grown earnings by 42% from 17.5 million to 24.9 million. And remember, this business is in heavy investment mode. And this takes us up to about 32% of total profits. But the one point I'd like to share with you is that over the past year, our risk management proved robust and worked. We have no money market funds where we have to pay in or explain to clients why we broke the one buck rule. So no credit problems there. And our fixed income team has effectively avoided any of the toxic waste which was sold with so much commitment over the last 3-4 years into client portfolios. And that allows us to be front foot over the coming years and not back foot or on the defensive. And I'm very proud of our risk management team for having achieved that. Ladies and gentlemen, we run this portfolio, this business, as a single portfolio, and we are able to marshal all our resources and point them towards the growth areas. We are seeing interesting growth areas, and we are looking to exploit those over the next few years. So in conclusion, I'm very proud to say that over the past 17 years, we've built a business which has consistently grown and delivered, and today is one of the top 50 third-party managers in the world. This business, when it matures, can and will deliver very significant cash flows to shareholders, and strategically, we're exactly where we want to be in that build-up phase. Over the coming year, our focus will be turning good track records into money, and of course, as Steve Heilbron says, always planting seeds, always creating new growth initiatives for the future. We remain focused only on three things. Number one, investment performance. Number two, clients. And number three, innovation, i.e. planting the seeds of future growth. And we believe that in spite of the challenging economic conditions, the outlook for 2009 financial year is good, because today our business is stronger and better than ever before. Thank you very much.
Okay, thanks Hendrik, and thanks everybody else. I'll now deal with the property group. Sam is playing golf in America somewhere, so he gives me this duty every year, and he did make a significant contribution this year. I think property had a phenomenal year, clearly still a South African-led business, although we have, as Hendrik, to use Hendrik's word, planted seeds both in South Africa and Australia. As badly as we perhaps timed Kensington, so we timed our exit of growth point as well. So overall, I think this business had a great year, and it was up in its operating areas 156%. Its funds under advice, which is excluding growth point, increased by 43%. That number is rand, not sterling, because that is a South African business. And its cost-to-income ratio, because it had such a great operating year, was only about 34% with a massive ROE. Clearly, this is a number that one doesn't achieve every single year. We have had a very strong performance from our investment property portfolio, and that is taking advantage of opportunities where we see gaps that other people don't see, and where we are and this was a case of taking advantage of those kinds of opportunities. We did sell the fund management business, which we've repeated a number of times, and did make a £73 million exceptional gain on the sale of Growth Point after cost. I think the property fundamentals have shifted. Clearly, they weakened in South Africa with the rising interest rates and the troubled consumer. The UK is a brand new business, and we're just setting it up, and I think it's a pretty good time to set it up. We do have a fund that has money for investment, and I think we'll be able to pick up some pretty good opportunities as other investors panic or get into trouble. And then I think this Australian property business likewise has been set up in the last year. We also have launched a fund there which has a lot of cash to invest, and likewise I think in the Australian market there are a lot of opportunities as well, as some property fund managers are unable to hold on to their assets or have to sell them because they were too leveraged. So overall, a very strong performance and to our whole Crofty team, and it really was a very gratifying year in the space. If we look at group services and other activities, I think international trade finance had a very good year, up 33% in sterling, a lot stronger clearly in rand. It's in essence a rand-based business. And again, that business has had a long period now of good growth. Our insurance activities is the rump that we still have, where some years we make a little bit more than others, and this year we did make a little bit more than last year, up 150%. And then the trade endowments business, which is also a rump business, we made a little bit of profit after many years of losses. So overall up 61% from 7 million to 12 million pounds. Our central funding unit was up 47%. I think we do have a significant amount of increase in cash holdings. You do see interest rates up significantly in South Africa, and that would come through in this line. We clearly have to pay higher interest on our sub-debt because it's all variable. And we've seen a lower return on some of our equity-type assets that we still hold in our shareholders' portfolios in this period, as the market for industrial-type shares actually declined quite significantly. But overall, a very good result, resulting in a profit as opposed to a break-even last year in this whole other line, group services and other activities. If you look at other issues, operational tax down from 26.3% to 22.6%. That is a number of things, a change in the tax rate in South Africa, lower tax rate. UK, the change will be next year. The fact that we have some income in low tax jurisdictions and some income that was subject to lower tax rates, where the transaction may have attracted capital gains tax as opposed to ordinary tax. Our weighted number of shares in issue, 606 million. That's as a consequence of the new shares in issue from the Kensington transaction and some of the Scott shares, King shares coming to light. Goodwill impairments, we did give you a range in March about Kensington. We've done an extensive job here to work out what kind of goodwill impairment we need to make. It is based on a rundown scenario, the present value of the future activity, net of costs, net of tax. And we put through 59.9 million pounds, which is at the upper end of our range. The other goodwill impairments relate to the old Fetcher transaction, where as you generate the income, so you have some goodwill impairment coming through because it's a declining asset over time, being a residual life insurance book. The number that might confuse people is the number attributable to minority shareholders. I think we've explained this before. 23 million pounds is really an accounting phenomenon. That number should be in the operating line as a negative in the operating line this year. Last year it was a positive, but it's basically the sterling against euro exchange rate. If sterling weakens, you get a profit. If sterling strengthens, you get a loss in that line. But at the bottom line, net attributable earnings, there is no difference. And then we have certain private equity investments that we have to consolidate, and the operating profit of those private equity investments is eliminated as a minority, and that's where the bulk of the money comes from. I think for this year we put in a risk review, and I think it's important for us that we talk to some of the risks, because it is a year where people are conscious of risks. I think we did see reasonably strong growth in core loans and advances, about 28%. We did mention where that came from earlier. We did have a big uptick in impairments, recognizing that we're in tougher credit market conditions, and we had to have more write-offs in this period from very, very benign conditions. Now from 17 million pounds to 59 million pounds. This excludes Kensington. I will deal with Kensington separately. Our gross default loans are 222 million pounds. That's any loan that we're worried about, or any loan that's in arrear. Even if it's not in arrear and we're worried about it and we make the provisions, it has to go into that line item under the way one disclosed under IFRS 7 and under BOL. The net default loans are almost nothing. I mean, basically, we haven't written everything off because we have guarantees or some other form of support that's not defined as collateral. So, overall, we think that we have been conservative in this number, but clearly, as Steve Halbron pointed out, market conditions are tougher, and there are probably lurkers hanging around that you haven't seen yet, that people are up to date now or don't look like they're in trouble, that end up in trouble somehow or other. There's always something like that that falls from the blue in tough conditions. But clearly, you're starting to move to the higher end of the chart. That's our default as a percentage of loans and advances over the last 5 reporting years. You can see in 2004 we're higher than where we are now, but certainly over the last you've seen a strong rise in the last year. And clearly that is recognizing that life is a bit tougher, and that's why our bad debt charge is higher. If you look at our loan portfolio, it's private bank and capital markets, the split between the two, £8.9 billion is the private bank and £3.8 billion is the capital markets business. Capital markets are generally a corporate type loan portfolio and generally of high quality. In fact, we don't have one loan in default in capital markets in South Africa at this point in time. We do have write-offs, but right now, not one loan in default. In the private bank, you have to bear in mind that these are two high net worth individuals. These people have made a lot of money over the last 5 years, and very clearly they are backed by collateral. Quite a bit of the collateral is property, but that is normally one of the largest pieces of collateral that a private client has. But these are loans to high net worth individuals in general. And so we are reasonably comfortable that loan portfolio is solid. And I say these people are wealthy people. Some may get into difficulty and we may have to have extra impairments. And just repeating what Steve Halborn said, but these are high net worth individuals that we've lent this money to. If we look at liquidity, I think we always tell you what our cash and near cash is. I think if you look at it as a percentage of our loan portfolios, it's more than 50% of our loan portfolios. At its peak of £6.3 billion, currently around about the £5.5 billion mark, and sustained itself with a minimum of 4.8 and a maximum of 6.3 right throughout this whole credit crunch area. And I think we have managed this position well. We have a large customer deposit base. If you add our customer deposit base and our warehouse lines together, they meet our loan portfolio, all our debt, all our equity, and all our cash that we get from banks on a term basis represents a surplus cash position. I think we have focused very strongly on maintaining a high level of liquidity. It has historically been our culture to hold more cash. That is obviously a costly exercise because it costs you margin, but we've ignored the fact that it costs us margin because we know that that's something that we've always needed to live with. We do try and maintain an appropriate funding mix. We have very low reliance on interbank funding, and we're often a large provider of deposits into the interbank market. We try and get our private client deposits to cover our private bank lending growth. We still have a gap in South Africa, but we have a surplus in the UK, but that has been an historic gap in South Africa, which we will close over time as we build our private client deposit base in South Africa, which is growing very strongly. And we limit concentration risk on the liability side. So we're not reliant on large single depositors. Coming to Kensington, I think if Kensington has mortgage assets under management of £6 billion, 4.12 are securitized, and just under £2 billion are funded by warehouse lines. If we look at the product mix, you can see, and I'll concentrate on the warehouse line because that's where we have a higher level of perhaps exposure. Our product mix is £769 million of prime assets, £600 million of what we would call adverse, which are people who have had some adverse history, and £550 million based in our Irish business that we own 65% of, which was a subsidiary of Kensington. The loan-to-values on that warehouse book was 73%, on the overall book of 69.9%. That's after you've had recognised house price deflation to the end of March. Our capital lent in arrears is in the £113 million in the warehouse book, which is just under 6%, and £551 million in the securitized portfolio. What's important is our debt-to-income ratios. In other words, our debt service ratio of our individual clients. These are not major clients, which we mentioned to you before. They have jobs, they have income, and they have quite a decent cover. So 23% of their monthly obligation is supported by income, in the case of our warehouse book, and 26% in the case of our securitized portfolio. Looking at our current exposure at the end of March, to the warehouse structures and the securitized portfolio, to the warehouse, £162 million, securitized, £172 million, the on-balance sheet provisions are £105 million, of which £34 relate to the warehouse book and £171 to the securitized portfolio, leaving a net exposure of £229 million. That exposure generates gross income, net of net interest, of about £120 million a year. I think that's what people really miss, is a high generation of excess spread that gives you a lot of room to meet your overheads and a lot of room to take bad debts. We did take over one of the warehouse lines. One of the investment banks had provided a warehouse line, which we took over in the last trading period, of £238 million. That had a first loss piece of 5%, and the loan-to-value of the underlying portfolios were 70%. So it's very highly unlikely that we could get hit there. We have stress test Kensington. These provisions that we've got, the £105 million, are based on house price deflation of 12.5% for this calendar year, so you really had 2.5%, and we expect another 7.5%, and we expect another 5%, and 5% for next calendar year, so 12.5% from the 1st of January 2008. That's what this provision is based on that we have in the books. If you stress it further, by a further 5% on top of the existing 12% and another 5% next year, so 12.5% and 10%, you need in that further provision of about £25 million. So we're not seeing this business in the same light as some people in the market are seeing it, because we think it's very well managed, the arrears are very well managed, and we are on top of our game. As they said, it is fully integrated. We know exactly what's going on. We've scrubbed all the data. We've done everything that we need to do to get on top of this business. And we are on top of it right now. So that is Kensington. If we look at US structured credits, we have a residual exposure to subprime of £16 million. We've written off 49, which Dave mentioned. And the other US credit exposures are ready to CLOs, of which £19 million is bank protected, so we have credit default swaps from highly rated banks, and 36 is against the individual exposure, and each exposure has 10% subordination. So we don't think that we can take another hit. The subprime is, I'm not sure the exact number, but about 12% of original face. So we have written this stuff down. Now, you may have a bit of uptick, you may have a bit of downtick going forward, but the back of the story is broken from our point of view. But that's on risk. If we move to looking forward, I think what you have to recognize is we have a strong base of recurring income. If you look at our income from fees and commissions and net interest income, that is about £1.2 billion almost. Principal transactions is £200-something million. I'll give you detail in a moment. So you can see that we have built a strong base of recurring income over the last, well, this is 5 years trading period. But we've been building it over many, many years. I think what's important, if you look in 2000, before we went into the last downturn, we had a very tight cost-to-income ratio. Look at this Jaws ratio. You can see we were around in the late 60s, early 70s. Today we go into what may be a downturn. Obviously we've been trading 8 or 9 months in it at a cost-to-income ratio of 56.1%. We've grown our income by 15 compound over the last period. We've grown our expenses by 12.5. So we've managed to improve our operating leverage quite significantly throughout this period. So that gives us a lot of comfort that we have scale to deal with difficult situations if they may arise. We look at how we're going to grow, and I guess it's not a season really to talk about growth, it's a season to talk about consolidation and making life efficient, but we still always have growth objectives. I think in the UK, we still are trying to drive the business organically. I think there was still good underlying organic growth, apart from the fact that we had a £49 million smack. We manage our liquidity very carefully, and we try and build our non-lending revenue. And that's the theme that you'll see in the organization over the next while, is building non-lending revenue. That's our funds under management, our advisory businesses, and our low capital intensity businesses. Australia, same principle. Driving organic growth, there are lots of opportunities floating around. We will always be looking for opportunities and building non-lending revenue. And then South Africa, there's no clear-cut strategic alternatives but to grow organically, and that's what we're concentrating on. And again, looking to build that non-lending revenue. I think if we look at this, it's about a small realignment. I think it's managed loan growth, but we still expect to grow. It's pricing risk appropriately. And I think that's what the world forgot about pricing risk appropriately, giving money away because they thought there was a wall of liquidity when it was all a load of nonsense. So pricing risk appropriately and building our customer base, our deposit base. At the same time, building our non-lending revenue and taking advantage of opportunities. You can see that 40% of our income now is net interest income, £583 million, £276 million, is from principal activities, which in these types of rounds with volatility, you should make money there, and £550 million from fees and commissions, 40% of the total. So you're taking 80% of our revenue stream comes from fees and commissions and net interest, and 20% from principal activity. So we think that the business model is quite balanced, but we think it's time for us to build that non-lending revenue side to balance the scale of it. We move on to outlook. I think Hendrik mentioned a very experienced management team. We have seen these cycles before. Now, maybe the UK hasn't seen them for a good while, but certainly some of us have been to other markets where we've had identical cycles and meltdowns or hawk meltdowns, whatever you want to call them, and we think we know how to navigate through them. We have a sound balance sheet. We have a very strict management of risk and liquidity, and that is very, very hands-on. We know what's going on in our books, and we have disciplined expense control while we still invest for growth. So we still see ourselves as a growth organization and prepared to invest for growth. I think the environment will remain challenging, but we believe that the scale and diversity of our business should enable us to navigate through what will be quite a tough period. I think we do expect to benefit from repricing of risk and the opportunities that come from the fact that markets are dislocated. So, in summary, we believe we have had a good year. We have taken some hits, but we've managed through that quite well. And life has been tough, but we're a resilient bunch. So, I thank you all.